You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome into Feeling Blue from the Block M Podcast Network, here with you on October 3rd, headed into October 4th, and we turn the page to a new month in the second month of the college football season, as we had ourselves a great first 5 weeks of the season. Luke Yardy here along with Tyler Seeley. We're going to recap the big win down in Lincoln and look ahead to Michigan hitting the road in the battle for the Little Brown Jug here this week. Tyler, what's going on? How you doing here today, man?
I'm doing good. Doing good. As you alluded to, a big win for Michigan over Nebraska, as you kind of alluded to. But doing well. Looking forward to seeing Michigan play some tougher competition, although I'm not sure we're going to get that with Minnesota, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I don't know where I stand on. I mean, obviously, Michigan needs to play someone, and those games are a whole lot of fun. But a nice stress-free, you know, Saturday when your team gets out to a 45-0 lead. Yeah, I'm not going to complain about it, to be honest with you.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Especially first road test of the year, right? And that's kind of what we weren't sure about. You know, this Michigan team, we haven't seen them on the road yet this season. And they were going into a hostile environment. Obviously, Nebraska, not really a very good team under first-year head coach Matt Rhule, but it's a place where weird things kind of happen. You go back to 2021, it took a couple of bounces for it to go Michigan's way, to be quite honest with you. And then they go back this year, but man, from the get-go, things were going Michigan's way, man. The catch from Roman Wilson, just unbelievable. One of the greatest catches I've probably ever seen. Him going up, pinning it to the back of that guy's head. I still don't understand how he got a foot down in that scenario. I remember they like ruled it a touchdown. I said, there's not a chance he got a foot down. He got tackled out of the back of the end zone. But sure enough, man, that guy is unbelievable.
Yeah, and he's not that big either. You know what I mean? Like, you would think that he wouldn't be able to go up and get it like that, but he's slowly becoming, not even slowly, he's becoming the go-to guy when JJ scramble drill kind of situation happens where you know, Michigan needs someone to go up and get a ball or someone to catch a ball, and he's the guy that's done it. Cornelius Johnson is another guy that we kind of look to be that guy, but we've seen it. It's hot and cold with him. He's never been quite consistent. And, you know, I mean, Roman Wilson is – night and day, even from where he was last year at this time. So he's taken a huge step, and I can't say that it's just the number one, although I'm sure that helps a little bit psychologically for him.
Yeah, man, he's definitely how should we put this? I guess he's definitely living up to it, right? To the honor.
Yeah, no doubt. No, without a doubt. He's been fantastic. I mean, like I said, he's one of those guys that you can rely upon. And it's just like he's already got 326 yards this season on 19 receptions with eight.
Well, the biggest thing, he's got eight touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he's been fantastic. I think the thing that it doesn't worry me, because I think the guys that are going to be throwing the ball, especially we saw was it Darius Clemens last week? Oh no, it was Amarion Walker, right? Or no, who was it that made the catch? Samaj Morgan, sorry. Yeah, yes. Samaj Morgan, who made the catch in the previous game to this one. They got some guys there. I just want to see a little bit of spreading the ball around, because what if Roman Wilson were to go down? I guess your default number one guy would be Cornelius Johnson, because he's been there the longest. I just need to see a little bit more from the guys. Maybe a little bit more from Donovan Edwards, who I think looked a little bit better on Saturday. But yeah, I was good. I was happy to see Darius Clemens with two receptions for 29 yards. Cornelius Johnson, yeah, he had two receptions, but for 32 yards with a long of 16, I believe it was. Or sorry, a long of 20. So, I mean, man, I mean, this passing game is getting to be very scary.
It's efficient, man. That's the thing. I mean, you can only, you know, you can only spread the ball around so much when you only throw 16 passes, you know, and that's just kind of, you know, the... I guess Michigan creating their own, I don't want to say misfortune, but I mean, like, JJ McCarthy was out of the game with like 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, you know, so which is fine. You're getting out of there healthy. They're, you know, down the line there is that question. Are they going to be ready to play four quarters? Cause they haven't done so yet this year. You know, I would eventually like to see them be able to play a full four quarters. I don't know if it's going to happen here this week, but yeah. Look, man, I mean, at the end of the day, health is going to be the most important. I'll tell you who I was really impressed with, though, man, was Khalil Mullings. Oh, my goodness, dude. Yeah. That guy, he's looking like a running back this year, right? Last year, at times, he looked like a linebacker getting carries, right? Yep. Yep. We're starting to see him, particularly over the last couple of weeks. He is looking like a running back, and one that would not be a joy to bring down.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing right now. If Donovan Edwards doesn't get his act together, I think Khalil Mullings is going to start getting some of those touches. So, you know, I mean, he's starting to remind me a little bit of Hassan Haskins, where he can kind of lower that head and get 3-4 more yards. You know, 5 carries for 43 yards with an average of 8.6, a touchdown, a long of 20. I mean, come on, man. I mean, for a guy that's a linebacker turned running back, that's not bad. And I'll tell you what, you're right, he's starting to look like a running back. He's starting to run hard. I mean, he's always ran hard, but he's starting to run hard, a little bit more patience, and he's finding those holes.
Yeah,
he really is.
And showing some burst.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What were you saying about Donovan?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I thought Donovan Edwards.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
For the first couple quarters, looked like the old Donovan Edwards. He didn't break off a, you know, a massive one, but he was close to breaking one, I think. He was tackled down at the shoestring somewhere by the ankles. So, but I saw a lot of old Donovan Edwards from last year in that game, and I think that was good to see. But then as the game started to fade towards the third and fourth quarters, you started to see some tendencies of maybe pulling up and not going in, maybe getting out of bounds instead of taking the hit. I don't know if he's injured. I don't know if the conditioning is just not all the way there. But are you starting to get concerned about Donovan Edwards at all?
I thought he ran a lot harder this week, to be quite honest with you. I thought he was really showing some explosion through the holes, obviously, like you said. Didn't break the big ones, but he had a couple of good runs where he put the shoulder down between the tackles. Like you said, towards the end there, may have started pulling up, but that's just going to happen. You're going to make those decisions when the game is already in hand. But early on, I really did think Donovan was looking a little bit better. And I don't know what it was, if he was showing a little impatience through the first few games, or it looked like he was just always trying to hit the home run, right? But this game against Nebraska, it really felt like he was keeping it between the tackles. He did bounce one that got a huge gain for 10 in the second quarter, which is fine. If it's there, go ahead and take it. He's got the athleticism to do it. But I don't think I'm concerned. And quite honestly, we're seeing him, being sent out, used in the pass game. They're putting him in motion, getting him in the slot, and I think we're going to see more of that. We just haven't seen this offense have to utilize every weapon in their tool bag because they're ultimately dominating these games. I know the scoreboard on some of them haven't exactly showed it, but you go look at the net success rankings and things like that, and they really are, according to the net success rankings this week. Michigan had the most dominant performance in the country in a victory. It certainly showed like it, right? Michigan, this was for sure their best game start to finish. And again, they only played the starters until about 4 minutes ago in the third quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. Start to finish. I think I sent you a text that they didn't really take their foot off the gas pedal, even with the second and third string guys coming in. I thought they were good. Jaden Denegal, what, he had a touchdown, right? He had a touchdown, and that was a pretty good throw too, right? So obviously they gave him one shot to throw. Jack Tuttle was 3 of 4 though. That was good. Davis Warren 0 for 2, which, whatever, I guess it is what it is. But I was impressed at the fact that they were able to run the football and move the ball on this Nebraska defense, who was pretty stingy at stopping the run. And I didn't think they blitzed a whole lot either. You might be able to see that a little bit better than I did, but I didn't think they blitzed a whole lot.
I thought we got good pressure. I thought Braden McGregor played his best game of the season. I think Josiah Stewart did as well. And yep, if those edges are starting to come along, because we're seeing the big boys in the middle, man, between Chris Jenkins, how about him coming away, Kenneth Grant coming away with an interception.
Yep.
That's fun to see. I mean, think about it. You got those three, right? Chris Jenkins right now, Kenneth Grant and Cam Goody. And then you're missing arguably, your second best interior defensive lineman in Mason Graham. And when he gets healthy, and this is just going to be a scary unit. I thought Jalen Harrell did a fantastic job as well, man. So really up front, this defense played scary, scary good. A little bit concerning on some pass plays, though. Some big plays were given up, particularly on these slants. We saw another play early on in the second half. I think it might have been the first play from scrimmage for Nebraska. Again, a safety takes a bad angle and it allows for, you know, what should be a 15, 20 yard completion turn into, you know, 40, 50 yard completion. So there is a little concern on the back end, I think, right now for me. I know there's some injuries dealing with, but some things you got to get shored up, you know, when you're coming down to crunch time against some better passing teams down the stretch.
Without a doubt. And the fact that you know, that was kind of the blueprint that TCU used to beat you, throwing the ball deep and you're not tackling surely. And, you know, what do we say? What does Jim Harbaugh always say about a good football team? Blocking and tackling. Yep. And you know, in that TCU game, going back that far, they didn't do that. And I think in some cases in this game, they blocked very well. They didn't tackle very well. And I think that's part of it. I guess some of it is still getting some of the kinks out for a guy like Rod Moore. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's teachable. I think there are mistakes that can be correctable. Do you want to be correcting those when it comes to Penn State on November, was it 11th or something like that, mid-November? No. Do you want to be correcting that against Ohio State later in the season? No. But, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm concerned about the defense in on any front at this point, but I agree with you. If there is a lukewarm kind of concern, it would be on the back end and giving up some of those slants over the middle.
Yeah, man, just got to get those closed down. And one of them to Billy Kemp there in the first quarter, it was kind of a weird one, right? Where Mikey played with outside leverage on the slant, but that's because Josiah Stewart, he kind of played it where, you know, the defensive end, he's going to come up like he's going to rush, but he drops back into coverage that Jesse Minter really likes running. He had it perfectly, but Michigan's rush didn't get home, and Harberger saw it, and he pump faked, and Mikey kind of just quit on it a little bit, and Kemp kept rolling on the slant to the middle, and it turned into a big play. But if your pressure's getting home, Michigan plays it perfectly, and we're not talking about that. It's either a sack, a pick, or a batted ball down, you know?
Yeah, I just don't want this to turn into, what was it, 2018 Ohio State, where, you know, yeah, you're just giving up deep crossing routes over the middle because your pressure's not getting home and your defensive backs are not as good. I don't think we're going to run into that with this team. I think the defensive backs are too good. They're too skilled. So I guess it's just shoring up some things.
Well, I think like Will Johnson's playing himself back into game shape. We'll see Rod, yep, Moore have to play himself back into game shape. And, you know, Keon Sab, he's really come on, but he's a guy who's really getting, you know, a lot of tick for the first time. So it's going to take some time. So he had a great play on that quarterback stop on 4th and 1, pulling back Harberger after Braden, yep, McGregor absolutely blew up the tight end right into him, man. Michigan, they're getting scary. And that's the other thing, man. They just continue to get better each and every week. And that is a terrifying thought.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100% that they're, you kind of alluded to it, they're kind of like a boa constrictor. They just don't let
Joel Quatt use that one here today.
He did. And I think you used that even before he did, so I'll give you the credit for that. But
oh yeah, I think I did say that last week, didn't I?
You did. So I mean, that's basically my thoughts on the defense. Do you want to switch gears to the offense? Like in terms of the offensive line, what did you think of the offensive line?
I think it looks much better with Ladarius Henderson at left tackle and Carson Barnhart at right tackle. I know that much.
I agree with you 100%. Miles Hinton working through something, but even quote unquote,
that's your five, man. The five, yeah, that were out there against Nebraska, it's got to be your five moving forward. I mean, you can't do anything other than that.
Did you hear what Jim Harbaugh said at his press conference, though? He did say something about trying to rotate guys and keep guys fresh, but I don't think you're going to do that.
That shouldn't be how it, and look, man, maybe it's just coach speak, but that's not how really an offensive line works, man. And I don't, and I know Sherrod Moore and Jim Harbaugh know that, like your best five need to build chemistry and trust with one another. And that's what the best teams do.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think that those are the five, and come hell or high water, those are the five. I did like what I saw from Trente Jones when he was out there as well. Mm-hmm. I thought he was good in run protection and pass protection. Even Giovanni El Hadi, I thought, was all right when he was out there. I don't know about you. I don't need to see much more of Miles Hinton for a while.
I don't, here, and, I don't think, I don't think we're going to. He's got all the talent in the world. I just, whatever happens on game day happens, man. It just doesn't click for him. Not 100% sure. I hope because the talent is there. There's no question about it. Just some mistakes and Michigan, without question, they were moving Nebraska off the line on Saturday, like we haven't really seen them do this year. You know, so that is absolutely, you got to be your five going forward. I mean, you got the best, you got the two best guards in America. Surround them with, you know, Nugent he's coming along, I think, as a center as well. But when the tackles are playing well, this offensive line, it's one of the best in the country.
I agree with you 100%. I think they've really started to click a little bit. And I think that game after game, it's gotten better. It hasn't you haven't gotten into a setback situation where they're worse 1 week and, you know, than they were the week before. I think they've gotten better each week, and I think they're starting to trust one another. And I agree with you. That's the five.
Yeah, no question about it. And well, if it is, man, I'll tell you what, they are getting hungry for what they're going to be seeing on Saturday night. And that is on the road to a Minnesota team that lucky to beat the Louisiana Raging Cajuns a week ago. When you kind of go and take a look at the box score here, the Raging Cajuns actually they outgained them 349-347. But on the yards per play front, Minnesota, they ran 65, Louisiana ran 52. So Louisiana on a yards per play basis, much better than Minnesota, 6.6. yards per carry for the Raging Cajuns on that Minnesota defense last week, 177 yards on 27 rushing attempts. And you got to think that, you know, given the success against the best run defense in the country, going up against Minnesota, who's allowing upwards of 127 yards per game on the ground, that those big boys up front and a three-headed monster in the backfield are going to be licking their chops a little bit.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, look for Donovan Edwards to maybe pick up where he left off, or pick up where he left off when he was running hard and going as good as he's been all season, I think. Look for him to continue that. Look for Blake Corum to eat as much as he can. And I'll tell you what, man, Khalil Mullings is another guy that, as we talked about earlier in the podcast, he's another guy that if he continues to impress, I don't see why he wouldn't get more touches of football.
And that's the thing, man. Again, that is just an absolute three-headed monster. That, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like, what do they call themselves? Donovan Edwards and Corum came into the year lightning and lightning. Well, guess what? Khalil Mullings is the thunder, baby. And you know, you got a couple lightning strikes and some thunder rolling in with that offensive line. I mean, that is going to wear down just about any defensive front, especially one that is going to allow Louisiana to run all over them.
Exactly. And honestly, even you look back to last year, Michigan never really had that thunder last year. You know what I mean? They did kind of look to Khalil Mullings a little bit as the season went on. But I think if you remember correctly, who was the other running back? It wasn't Tevier Dunlap. It was little bit of Leon Franklin and oh man, the guy that's hurt right now.
Man, I mean, for me, mostly I remember Corum and Edwards, and when Edwards went out, Mullings was getting a lot of the short yardage work, you know, when Corum wasn't in there.
We had to rely on somebody in Illinois game last year, and I for some reason I can't remember the name. But anyways, he was kind of the thunder that we needed in that game. But anyways, we finally have another thunder, another potential Hassan Haskins kind of guy that, you know, can run between the tackles, but he can also run you over too, which is something they've kind of been missing in short yardage. Although, you know, Blake Corum can just fall ahead and somehow ends up getting two extra yards and gets the first down just about every time. But
Yeah, I know, but you brought it up, man. I mean, you go back to a couple of those fourth down plays, and it was Mullings getting the carry. The one, he went for the touchdown, but he also had a couple other ones. And the biggest difference from him, and I think you alluded to it earlier, Tyler, was that I think he's seeing the holes a little bit better here this year. The vision's gotten a little bit better.
Absolutely, and I think that just comes with running the football more and, you know, being being more of a running, quote unquote, running back. The guy that I was thinking of was CJ Stokes, by the way. Just
CJ Stokes. Yeah, he's a little banged up right now, eh?
Yeah, exactly. But I'll tell you what, I mean, this Minnesota team, as we talk about, not that great of a team. I'll tell you, they barely got out of that game against Louisiana. They blew a 21-point lead in the trailing. I think they were up by 21 going through three quarters, and they blew that to Northwestern and lost it in overtime 37-34. So this Minnesota team isn't a world beater, I'll tell you right now. They got smoked by they didn't get smoked. Big loss to North Carolina, who, you know, I mean, Drake May, as we all know, is one of the better quarterback prospects in this NFL draft. And then
would they lose by there? Three touchdowns to UNC? I mean, we're pretty close there too.
Yeah, exactly.
Close to a smacking.
Exactly. They beat Eastern Michigan, but again, if you look at the worst teams in college football, EMU is one of the worst teams in college football in the bottom 25. And then of course they beat Nebraska 13-10, who Michigan just destroyed. So I think that gives
they were losing to Louisiana last week at halftime, 17-14. And that was a ball game for a lot of the game. So yeah, I mean, obviously, this Minnesota team is struggling, and pretty much their sophomore quarterback, Calicamanis. I apologize if I butchered that, but I mean, he's struggling a little bit this year, right? He's completing less than 60% of his passes, 745 yards on the season, 5 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, a rating of 117.4. I mean, you compare that to JJ McCarthy, who hasn't played in a fourth quarter yet this year. And, you know, JJ's completing 79% of his passes. He's got a little over 1,000 yards. He's almost got 300 more yards. He's got 10 touchdowns to 3 picks. And again, JJ hasn't played in a fourth quarter yet this season. So, I mean, the quarterback situation in Minnesota, they thought the big Greek kid was, what do they call him? They got some sort of Greek nickname with him. Not the Greek freak, obviously, but they got something to go along those lines with him. But they thought he was going to be, you know, really stepping into his own after the way he ended last season, but just not able to, hasn't shown it quite yet this season.
No doubt. And then if you look in the running game, they have Darius Taylor, who has over 500 yards this year with 4 touchdowns. So that's a little bit of a strength for them. They have a backup in Sean Tyler, who's got 40 carries for 183 yards, no touchdowns. Calicamanis himself has 2 touchdowns and 92 yards for the season. Daniel Jackson in the passing game is mm-hmm. kind of the go-to guy, with 252 yards, an average of 12.6 per reception, 4 touchdowns. And then Brevin Spanford, the tight end there, very good tight end. I watched a little bit of him in the Nebraska game. He got open a bit. He's a guy that they kind of use as kind of a security valve almost. So, I mean, if you can stop the run game, the pass game is, I guess, Daniel Jackson and pretty much everybody else, although you do have Corey Crooms, who does have 227 yards, no touchdowns, but a long of 27 yards, an average of 11.9. So, I mean, not a bad passing game. Calicamanis, I think, has thrown 4 interceptions this year. So, I mean, that's certainly something that if Minnesota's going to lose, or if Michigan's going to win this game, they're probably going to have a takeaway or two in this game.
Yeah, man, and I think the opportunities are going to be there, right? But this is a great test. You know, if some of those things that we talked about, particularly in the secondary, to see if they got some of those things shored up here this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, like I said before, this is one of those games that you, if you're Michigan, you really want to win this game. I mean, obviously you want to win every game, but this is a game you have to have if you're Michigan. And, you know, again, like I said before, this is a situation where you're going to go into a hostile environment. I mean, obviously it's not Ohio State or it's not Penn State, but I mean, Minnesota, they show up, especially when you're the number 2 team in the country and you're playing a night game in front of everybody. They're going to show up, they're going to be loud, and it's going to be up to Michigan to be able to try and shut that crowd up.
Yeah, just giving you a little background here on Minnesota. They rank 46th SP+. 77th in the country offensively, 28th in the country defensively. So that's something to look out for. We'll see what the game plan is for Michigan. But again, you know, after what they did to Nebraska there, who came in as one of the top, you know, defensive units in the country, you got to like their chances. But ultimately, Michigan's got to go in, got to expect them to roll here this week. Don't, you know, back-to-back road games. You know, this is a good opportunity for Michigan. They don't get to go on the road once, come back home. They got to go right back on the road and see if they can kind of channel that energy that they had in Lincoln on Saturday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they just need to pick up where they left off.
Yeah.
In Lincoln on Saturday.
Yeah, man, should be fun. Should be a good one here. Just want to let everyone know, bit of a bittersweet episode here on Feeling Blue here, as it is going to be my last episode here on the show, man. And it has been a heck of a run, starting joining the Maize and Brew crew back in the start of 2018, joining up with Anthony Broom and Chris Castellani back when it was Brewcast, man. And we kept that going for a few years. Chris obviously left for Barstool. Me and Anthony kept Brewcast going. He left for On Three. Joined up with Steven Austin Toski for a little bit, and then to Scotty White, which I had a lot of fun with. And now you, Tyler, it's been a true pleasure to work with you, man. Wish it could have been for a full full season, but ended up taking a position, a new position that's not going to pretty much allow me to have the free nights like I do now. But yeah, man, it's truly been a whole lot of fun to do this for almost 6 years, you know, talking Michigan sports, dream of mine growing up, right? Being able to talk Michigan sports and have a platform to do so. Huge thank you to Von Lozon and Anthony Broom. Anthony hired me on with Maize and Brew the original time when Von took it over. He retained me, and big thanks to those guys and everyone I worked with. I mentioned Anthony and Chris and Steve and Scotty and you, Tyler. It was a whole lot of fun, but thank you to the listener, you, the listener as well, man. It's not possible without you and knowing the reach and all the engagement on Twitter because of this podcast that I've done for the last almost 6 years, man, and kind of being a part of the Michigan community, truly, truly special to me and something I'm going to cherish forever. I'm not going to close the door on it for good or anything like that, but for the time being, this is going to be my last show here, and truly, truly a whole lot of fun, man.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm obviously happy that I was able to, for a short time, albeit, you know, be able to learn a little bit from you and do this podcast with a true professional in yourself. And even going back to listening to you and Chris and Anthony, I mean, you guys were great together. And like I said, I wasn't those guys, but I was glad to be able to come in and, you know, do the best that I could. And, you know, listening to Brewcast all those years, I mean, you definitely are like a Michigan legend, man, even though you probably don't think of yourself that way, but you definitely are something. If you're a Michigan fan and you live in Michigan or you live remote like I do, you know, you've definitely been in people's cars and you know, in people's earbuds for 6 years, and we're definitely going to miss you in the Michigan community. I don't know exactly what this means for this podcast, if it's going away or it's not. I guess that will be up to Von, but definitely been a pleasure working with you, and hope to keep you as a friend.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate the kind words for sure. And like you said, it was great to have you on, Tyler. You've done a fantastic job. It truly has been a pleasure to work with you, and wish we could keep this going. But I know that you're gonna continue to be very good. I know even if this goes away, I know you're on the recruiting podcast with Vaughn. You've been doing a great job there, and hopefully, you know, this can continue because it's a great legacy show, obviously. But either way, man, it's been a hell of a run, and I've truly enjoyed every single minute of it.
Absolutely, and best of luck in your next job. I know you're excited to get that going, and you know, just best of luck. I'm always here for you. Anything you need to talk Michigan football about, you know, I'm always down to talk Michigan football. I'm always down to get pissed off at something. So
yeah,
you know, I'm always here for that. So.
Well, I appreciate it, man. So one final time here, I'll let you tell the folks where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at SealDog91.
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Giardi, LukeGhiArdi. Not going anywhere there. I'll still be watching the Michigan games. You know, diehard fan. I'll be live tweeting them, getting pissed off, getting joyful with you every step of the way. Still appreciate all the comments and the engagement, man. It truly is what makes this community special. No question about that. Please subscribe, rate, leave a review wherever you get your podcast. We do some great shows here on the Block M Podcast Network. Make sure to stay tuned for any news going forward on the different shows that we have as well. So for my partner Tyler Seely, I'm Luke Giardi, and again, thank you so much for the last 6 years. Truly a pleasure to be with you each and every step in the way. So as I say farewell, I say go blue.